Wesley Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, second-year head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, joins us now from the National Football League Scouting Combine, and our presentation is provided by MaxItPawn.com. Speaking of our sponsor, MaxItPawn.com, what do you think you could get for that 3-13 last year if you brought it to a pawn shop and said, here, I want to trade this thing in. What kind of cash are you going to give me? It might have been 50 cents, right?
maybe.
But it's officially behind you now because the 2012 calendar officially starts now with the combine. And, yeah. And you know, one strange thing, Leslie, is the college pro days begin before free agency, with free agency in the middle of March. You got those pro days, then free agency, then the draft. That's a little different.
It is. It's a lot different. In the past, you know, we would have started free agency right at the 1st of March, and we wouldn't have gone out to visit any colleges up to that point. So it's going to be a little different. People have to come off the road and be back in-house because we probably will end up having to host some potential free agents. So that's a lot different than years past.
Yep. What's your role in that?
Well, I'm one of the guys who has to host, you know, has to be there to visit with potential free agents if we're interested in signing them. I've got to be able to say this guy's a fit or he's not a fit.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to set our schedules based on that.
Well, you're the head coach, man. I mean, let's send somebody else to North Alabama, Coastal Carolina to find the next Tyler Thigpen or whatever. Let's send Spielman and Peyton and all those guys around there. You can sit back and host the free agents to help your team. It's not a bad deal.
Well, I mean, this year's draft and where we're picking, it's so important that I'm involved even on the road just to be able to go out and evaluate players with our scouts, which is something I'm looking forward to doing. And then, of course, if we are hosting free agents, I want to be there to shake their hands and get to know them as well.
Excellent.
Just a couple weeks ago, we were down at the Senior Bowl, and I remember coming out of the locker room at halftime, and we're walking onto the field in the middle of an upset over the South team, and you looked at me and said, man, this gets me excited for next season.
Oh, yeah.
And what was that? What was your experience like coaching the Senior Bowl?
Well, just you know, watching our coaching staff work that week, Mike, was something I was really impressed with. You know, we made a few tweaks to our staff, and I wanted our guys to be able to get a chance to work together, and it really turned out to be like a mini camp in a lot of ways for us to be able to interact with those players, which we had to evaluate, but also for our coaching staff. I thought it was a big plus for us. I mean, you know, a year ago we didn't get a chance to have that one camp that a new staff would have, and this kind of served as that, that Senior Bowl did.
You know, and sticking with the Senior Bowl, that really changes, or I don't want to say changes, but it changes a little bit, but it impacts the way we prepare for the draft because that was all seniors, and you got great exposure to those guys.
Yes.
So is it basically all juniors for you and Rick and the scouts here at the Combine?
Well, there's still some homework to be done with some of the seniors. I mean, there's still some things that we want to find out, but we really do have to delve into the juniors. There are a number of juniors in this class, probably the highest number in history. So, you know, when you got 65 new guys that you really haven't done your homework on, there's a lot of work to be done on juniors.
Yep. And I'm sitting back in the studio doing the radio show with NFL Network on in the St. Louis Park studio watching you guys. Mm. And you guys practice in the morning right during my show, and I was watching George Stewart and everybody run around and stuff. It was really cool. Mm. But, you know, one of the lasting impressions for me from the Senior Bowl, without meeting the guy, and I'm sure you've met him now, but just hearing people talk about him and watching him run around, was that kid from North Alabama, that cornerback Janoris Jenkins.
Yes.
And I had never heard of him. I mean, I remember him from Florida, but I don't follow North Alabama. And then you hear about the allegations and stuff and the importance of people sitting down and meeting him. Then there's an interview with him, and he kind of went Cam Newton on it a little bit and said, I am the best cornerback in college football. You can Morris Claiborne this, Drake Kirkpatrick that. They know who's the best, and it's me.
Hmm.
I was kind of taken aback when he said that. What's your assessment of him? I mean, did you meet him? Did you interview him? How deep did you get into Janoris Jenkins?
Well, of course, we're very familiar with him. We'll become more familiar as this process goes on. There's a lot of work to be done, but he's a very good player. I mean, there were a number of good players down at that Senior Bowl on both squads, and he's a guy that we'll have to do our homework on and really get a real good feel for as we get ready for this draft.
I'm kind of obsessed with him. What kind of player is he? Is he fast? Is he physical? Does he have an edge? And how much of a concern, given this is the team that knew about the Percy Harvin allegations up to the combine, still drafted him, he became Rookie of the Year. Mm-hmm. You know, Jared Allen, when he got here from Kansas City, didn't exactly have some choir boy to him, and everything's worked out beautifully with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, from you through behind-the-scenes guys like Les Pico, I mean, there's such a good, insulated family feel with this team that you don't shy away from people like that if you think they're squared away, do you?
Well, it's important that what you just mentioned, we have a group of people that we really try to use to ascertain if a guy's a fit for what we're trying to do. It's not just me interviewing a guy or talking with him, but some of the people that you mentioned. And we have security. There are a number of steps that get involved for us to make a decision whether or not we're going to allow this guy to be a part of our football team. So whether it be Jared, whether it be Percy, or some of the others that we've had on our team that may have had a questionable past, there's a lot involved when you're making a decision about whether or not this player is going to be a part of your team.
Yeah.
Another thing that you might consider in certain players is their measurables. And we get that here at the Combine, height and weight and size and length of arm, all that, all those measurements. For you, when you're evaluating cornerbacks, the stigma is kind of like a cover two, Tampa two defense. You want big physical corners who can jam receivers at the line. Is that true? Do you really favor that type of corner, or do you look at all the different traits?
Yeah, you know, Mike, I hear that sometimes about Tampa two corner.
Yep.
We're not looking for a Tampa two corner. We're looking for a guy that can cover and play some man. I mean, we want to be able to mix in some man coverage, and we weren't able to do that as much as we wanted to a year ago. But when we played our best defense, we've been probably 50-50 man and zone, and we weren't able to do that a year ago, and it hurt us. I mean, it showed up in the secondary. So we're looking at a lot of other ingredients other than the guy that can just jam the line of scrimmage and sit in the flats.
And that makes a lot of sense because the best corner on our team is the smallest guy on our team. I mean, so and Antoine Winfield is a phenomenal defender and doesn't have that huge size, but he still makes a big impact.
No question about it. I mean, he's a terrific tackler. He has excellent cover ability, which allows you to do some of the things we'd like to be able to do on a regular basis on defense. And we're going to be looking at this group of prospects and trying to find guys that will give us a chance to play some man and mix in some zone as well.
Now that you've torn it down to make it better, and we chatted about it a fair amount on Vikings Live from Winter Park last year, craziest thing I've seen in my 10 or 11 years working around this team, all those defensive line sacks, all those sacks, top three in the NFL or whatever, and so few interceptions. Mm. And now that you've torn it apart and looked back at it, what exactly was the reason?
Well, we had some opportunities for some interceptions, and you know, we didn't make some catches that we could have made, and we weren't in the positions that we needed to be in. And when you are not where you should be, sometimes the ball is going to go where it shouldn't go. And we've just got to do a better job this offseason and even in training camp and making sure that we put guys in position and we put them in position. We've got the right guys there to make those plays.
Let's chat about Christian Ponder, new defensive coordinator Alan Williams, and more when we return to the Combine with Minnesota Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier on your home for Vikings football, The Fan.
PA and Wobby, live from... Now back to the NFL Combine, thanks to Max at Pawn on KFAN.
Back at the Scouting Combine, Indianapolis, Lucas Oil Stadium, with Minnesota Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier and Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com. I'm Paul Allen. Leslie's going to be talking to the assembled media about 20 minutes from now. Very, very kind of him to stop by and share his thoughts on the Minnesota Vikings in the upcoming 2012 season with the Vikings Radio Network, the flagship FM 100.3. And this time last year when we chatted with you, when we were doing shows at the Combine, everybody was talking about the lockout.
Yeah.
It was all about the lockout. And free. You didn't get a full free agency. Right. You didn't get any camps. And then all of a sudden it just comes flooding at you. Yeah. We ended up with McNabb. And then we start the season. And it's just so much different for you this year, isn't it?
Oh, so much different. Really looking forward to this offseason, just going through the process. And you're right. The lockout dominated the conversation a year ago this time, and everyone was wondering what was going to happen. So, and that lasted throughout the offseason. So this is more what you are accustomed to.
Are you more relaxed and comfortable in your head coaching skin because of the normalcy of the schedule and the routine now?
I am. You know, last year with all the uncertainty, you know, you always were coming up with contingency plans because there was always the possibility of getting back to football at this date or that date. And so it was a little helter-skelter in a lot of ways, whereas this year there are specific dates for certain things and we're on a schedule. And so this is much better.
Yeah.
On the topic of a normal offseason where you're going to have OTAs and mini camps and rookie mini camps and all of that, you know, one part of that I'm really looking forward to is the assistant coaches, the position coaches working with the players, because they didn't get to do that last year, specifically as it relates to young, inexperienced players. And then going even deeper, offensive line. I mean, Jeff Davidson, I have an immense amount of respect for his work on the offensive line. And then you look at who we have there, DeMarcus Love, Brandon Fusco. Who knows who we're going to have at left tackle, perhaps a draft pick. I just think that you can't say enough about Davidson's impact on those young guys once he gets his hands on them.
Oh, no doubt about it. Jeff's an outstanding coach. I think our offensive line really improved this past season. And with the additions that we'll make, I mean, we are going to add some players to offensive line. Having a coach who's such a great teacher and excellent communicator really is going to be a plus for our players. And the fact that he'll be able to be around them during the offseason, it's going to put us so far ahead compared to a year ago.
I hope, speaking of left tackles, I hope I didn't compromise purple and gold integrity yesterday, because just off to your right when the players were walking by, it was big offensive lineman day yesterday. I want to meet Matt Khalil, man. Been talking about him since December, you know, since we kind of knew what our fate was and we can start looking forward to next year. And so while Matt Khalil walks by him, you know, I get up, radio show's over, go over there, I introduce myself to him. Paul Allen, I call games for the Vikings. And NFL PR guy was trying to whisk him away. I wanted to tape a quick little 3-minute interview. Had this nifty little device in my hand. I'm like, no, I could just do it right here. And no, we got to get Matt out of here. Well, no, you don't understand, sir. He might be on our team next year. So, I mean, I'm probably going to be doing this at rookie camp anyway.
Yeah.
So can we just start the process right now?
Yeah.
And then NFL PR guy was like, sir, I've got to get Matt down the hallway. And I said, I understand that. But given he may be wearing our colors next year, and I'm probably going to put together some deal for him anyway to join my radio show every so often, can I just start the process right now? Matt was looking at me like I was the biggest trip in the world, just holding on to my hand. And then I said, Matt, no matter how the chips fall, man, you know, if you end up with the Minnesota Vikings, it would be great to have you on the team. Mm. And best of luck to you. And he said thank you and walked on. So well, I got a chance to meet Matt Khalil yesterday. Yes, I thought it was kind of a cool story.
No, he's a sharp young man, and we get a chance to meet him tonight and just talk with him. So we're looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
In general, the offensive line class seems pretty good. I mean, past Matt Khalil, two guys from Stanford, a guard and a tackle. Mm-hmm. Iowa, Riley Reiff, another tackle. Pretty good class, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be some guys there for us to take a look at, and that's one of the exciting things about this offseason, now having a chance to get involved with this process and try to evaluate these offensive linemen, because it is a deep group. So we're going to have some tough decisions to make.
So you said you're going to meet Mr. Khalil this evening, but I would assume that you've broken a lot of things down on tape with Rick Spielman and those guys, Scott Studwell, and stuff, correct?
No question about it. Our scouts have done a great job of following him over the course of his career and provided us with great information, yes.
Well, when I met him yesterday and looked at him, he just, I mean, with no neck, kind of seems like a nasty streak, big, huge hands. It reminded me of what, like, a young Steve Hutchinson must have been like out of Michigan at RCA Dome when he was doing his combine. You know, you just get that feel for the comparison and everything. And is he super aggressive and kind of nasty like that with what you've seen from USC film?
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who has that temperament that you're looking for, has the athletic ability. I mean, there's a reason that he's rated as high as he's rated, and a lot of it has to do with his smarts, his athletic ability, and then his temperament as well. And but as Mike mentioned, there are a lot of good candidates on the offensive line in this draft. So we're going to have some good decisions to make. I mean, whoever we end up taking, we're going to get a good player.
Who do you think your starting quarterback will be next year in the regular season?
Well, we expect Christian Ponder to be our starting quarterback. I mean, he's a guy who we think is on the come. The experience that he gained this past offseason should really benefit him and benefit our football team. And we're expecting him to take some big leaps. And part of that being the fact that he'll have a full offseason on his belt.
I know it's early in the process, Leslie, with 2 months to go in front of the draft. Say Robert Griffin III is available at the third overall pick and you can't trade out of it for whatever the reason. Any idea what you would do?
Well, you know, when the time comes, we'll look at every position, just like we're doing now, leading up to the draft, and then we'll try to make the best decision for the organization whenever that time comes.
And a lot of it, too, it depends what happens here and in between now and the draft, too, with Robert Griffin III and all the players. I mean, there's still evaluations to go, right?
There's a lot to be done, a lot of work to be done. This is one step in a major process as you're trying to evaluate players, and there's so much homework to be done on each one of these players, including Robert Griffin.
Leslie, say you end up with a tackle, whether it's Khalil, somebody deeper in the draft or whatever, free agency, who knows, and you like that left tackle and you feel you can use him in regular season games. How much guard flexibility does Charlie Johnson have? I mean, is he, would you be comfortable using him at guard?
Yeah, you know, Charlie played some guard here in Indianapolis and did a good job at the guard position. Was very successful in starting games and doing that. So we would not be uncomfortable moving him to guard and letting him start there. He's done it before and had success.
What kind of instructions did you give Phil Loadholt into the offseason? It's a contract year for Phil. You know, and I know traditionally speaking, it's good to be on the right side of that when you have talented players like him. You know, he's trying to get that next nice deal, and he's in a contract year. What kind of instructions did you give him into the offseason before you see him again at the camps?
Well, just to come back in the right frame of mind, help our football team improve and take care of his body, you know, during this offseason, but to come back ready to work, ready to take the necessary steps to be a better player going into 2012.
Yeah, you know, one thing coming off a 3-13 and some roster turnover here and you trying to create a culture and a winning identity, how do you feel about leadership in the locker room? Do you think that we're in a good spot? Are you looking for that type of guy to add, whether it be free agency or the draft? How would you assess that part of this team?
I think we have some solid leaders at some key positions, but I'd like to, you know, add something to the equation. I mean, that's a part of developing what you want when it comes to chemistry and having some guys to really take over the locker room when the coaches aren't around. Yeah. And that's an important part of having a successful football team. So it's a part of our team that we want to improve.
Yeah. With that vocal leadership and with that natural God-given leadership of talented players who have equity and have put good stuff on film so that they can speak up and everybody will listen, Jared Allen comes to mind. Is John Sullivan that kind of guy? Because I kind of sensed before you guys signed him and extended him last year, you know, that John has that to him, but you kind of got to have another good season, get your deal set so that you have that leadership stuff to you before you start telling people, no, this is how it needs to be done if we're going to win games, and I need you to listen to me. Does John have that to him?
You know, Paul, John has really grown in that area. There was a time where it was more like what you said. You know, I just got to work on my game and try to improve so that I can gain some equity with my teammates.
He was always hurt.
And been injured and in and out of lineup. So, and inconsistent in his play.
Yeah.
Well, he really stepped it up this past season in more ways than one, not just on the field but in the locker room as well. So he's one of those players who we're looking to become a vocal leader for us. He's shown that he has the potential to do that, and it began to show up a little bit more as the season went on. So we were pleased that he ended up signing back with us.
Leslie Frazier from the Combine, Wobby Paul Allen, a couple of quickies to close here. Leslie addresses the assembled media within the next 10 minutes. Is it a certainty Antoine Winfield will be on the team next year?
Well, I mean, he's a guy who's done a great job for organization for a number of years. I've enjoyed working with him and having him around. And, you know, he's one of those guys we're going to have to make a decision on as we get ready for this next season. But Antoine Winfield has been a highlight for us for so long. So we'll see what happens.
I've yet to meet defensive coordinator Alan Williams. What do you like about him?
I like the fact that he's an excellent teacher and a very good communicator with players, has a great rapport, but understands how to attack offenses and has had a lot of success as a coach, in particular here in Indianapolis. But just his ability to be able to communicate and really be able to have a broader vision from a defensive standpoint is something that was really impressive to me.
You know, free agency is a little sticky even with ours or with guys that we might go after. We don't know who's going to be available, but the draft class we do. So with you and Alan Williams, defensive coordinator, and Joe Woods, all having background in the secondary, what do you think about this class? Not so much the top guys like the Morris Claibornes and the Drake Kirkpatricks, but the depth of it. Because, I mean, we only have one pick at number three. We don't have three. So we're going to take one player there, but then after that, we might have to address secondary later in the draft. Is there depth there?
There's depth, but usually, Mike, at the corner position, if you don't get the guy early, it's tougher to develop that Pro Bowl caliber corner late in the draft. Not that you can't find one who can be a solid player, but generally the guys that go to Hawaii were guys that were taken early in the draft. So there is depth at the position. And we're going to try to find some guys that can help us improve in the secondary.
Sadly, we can't talk about specifics with free agency until mid-March. But nevertheless, just, you know, with us looking at the names, with the wide receivers and some of the cornerbacks and everything, I don't know if it's a product because of the way free agency went last year, how it was truncated and they couldn't get deals squared away and everything. Man, there are some really, really good names and players out there who can help immediately up and down free agency, right?
No question about it. I mean, there are some good players that are out there, and With things going a little bit later this year than they have in the past, you know, you kind of have to wait and see if guys end up re-signing with their present teams. But there are a lot of good players on the market.
What's the importance of striking early in free agency? Say you want a certain receiver who did not get the franchise tag, did not get extended, and you see that individual as a person who can complement somebody you want to draft a player or two with Percy Harvin, Michael Jenkins coming back, I would assume, somebody who can blow the top off the defense. Do you need to get that individual to Winter Park very early and try to get that thing cut immediately and not let them leave?
I think so, Paul. I think when it's a key guy, top guy, you want to be the first one to get him in your building, because if he's the guy that you targeted, you don't want to let him out, because once he gets to the next team,
yeah,
you know, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to try to keep him in there until they get him signed. So you'd like to be that first visit, if at all possible.
The uncomfortable part of the business, Leslie, is coming up within the next few weeks, you know, where you're about $10 million under the cap right now. And, you know, to flirt with some of these receivers, corners, whatever you need, you got to get 20, 25, 30 under the cap, you know, which is just a guesstimate number I would throw out there, which means, you know, you got to eyeball friends. And tell them that it's time to move on. And I mean, that's very difficult, isn't it?
It's a tough part of the business. There's no question about it, but that's what it is. It is a business, and it's a part of what we do. And it's something that every player has to deal with, every coach has to deal with it. And it's not an easy task by any means.
I think we're going to see a lot of teams utilize the franchise tag this year, and I don't think the Vikings will. That's just my sense right now. And if they don't, I think that's good, because it's not a very economical way to keep guys. I mean, it's a one-year guaranteed contract of a lot of money. And just going off that and then re-signing John Sullivan and Adrian and Chad before the season or during the season, I mean, I really feel like the Vikings have put themselves in a good position once free agency starts to address some needs.
Yeah, I agree with you. We have actually gone through free agency in our own right by re-signing some of our key players.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to take a look at other NFL free agents, but I think we've done the right thing with our players.
Yeah. In closing, I asked Rick Spielman this yesterday. I know you're not comfortable talking about it, but I think, you know, I think it's a very big part of the offseason. And, you know, fairness in Legality Act, I hope whatever is supposed to work out with Chris Cook works out for the fairness of everybody involved. But here you are at the combine. You're looking at cornerbacks. We need secondary help. Everybody listening knows that. Depth, talent. And, you know, here you got this guy that you took early in the second round a couple of years ago, and you got the case off the field. How much does that impact looking at the combine, handling free agency, then dealing with the result of the court case, then drafting? I mean, it impacts the offseason, doesn't it?
To a degree. I mean, we really have to operate, Paul, as if he's not a Minnesota Viking, as we are preparing for this draft, as we're going out to evaluate players. Until we know conclusively what's going to happen with this court case, and we've got to operate as if he's not a part of our team, and that's the approach we have to take.
You know, I don't mean to be flippant or cavalier here, but we're looking, and Chris may very well end up being an unbelievably good player for your team or somebody else. You know, but I look back and calling the games and being close to it, he's played 12 games with no interceptions. So, you know, I mean, it's not like we're talking about Deion Sanders here. You know, I think people look at it because of where he was selected in the draft, then what happened, and then the fact that he was kept on the team and on the payroll, and there are just a lot of question marks the public has about it. It's a very sticky situation, isn't it?
In some ways it is, and you know, we'll see how it plays out.
Good luck. Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. Charlie Casserly, former general manager of the Washington Redskins and the Houston Texans, currently an analyst for NFL Network, joins us next from the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium. Thanks to Max at Pawn on the Fan.